Mark chapter 7, we're reading today very similar words to what we read from Matthew's Gospel. Mark chapter 7, and we'll take up at verse 14, where we ended there last Lord's Day. At the end of verse 13, we finished. So beginning at verse 14, let us hear the word of the living God. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, "Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand, there is nothing from without a man that is outside a man, that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, "Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats?" And he said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." Amen. We end our reading there at the close of that 23rd verse. And we do desire the ministry of God the Holy Spirit, that he would come and speak his word effectually in our hearts today. Well, the enemies had retreated at this point. Those who had come to find fault, those who criticized the Lord Jesus. Now, it's interesting that the scribes and the Pharisees, though they had left, they had a historical practice that is often encouraged at this present time during the worldwide virus. If you notice in verse 4 of Mark chapter 7, here is their practice. "And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not." Now, of course, the rabbis, the scribes, the Pharisees were very unbiblical, ritualistic, and extreme in their hand washing. But I think that maybe you can appreciate something of a similar desire that they had in regarding contamination, because we don't want to be contaminated today, especially by the COVID-19 virus. And there are probably times when you're away from the house. You may be in some business, and as you're there, you may begin to get the creepy feeling that there's some germs, some uncleanness around, and you may reach and get your hand sanitizer and use some of it, or you may want to get home so that you can do that good 20-second thorough hand washing that is recommended. Well, we are glad today that we are in the hands of the absolutely sovereign God. We therefore can rest in the assurance that he will take us safely through this world, and that we will not leave this world until His very appointed hour for our departure. Our leaving this scene of time is not according to a man-made virus, but rather according to God's sovereign will. So as we come to chapter 7 this morning, after the enemies have retreated, I would point out three simple things from this passage. And that is, first of all, He states a public principle that He speaks to the whole multitude. A public principle. And then secondly, there was a private petition put to Him by the apostles. And then He gave a powerful proclamation dealing with the heart in a very thorough way. So I want us to look, first of all, at that public principle that He speaks to the whole group. You see here in Mark 7 and verse 14, "And when He had called all the people unto Him, He said unto them, hearken unto Me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without or outside of man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." Well, first of all, the Savior invited the people to come to Him. And then He encourages the people to hearken. The word hearken means to hear in a way so that you will know. You need to hear very carefully so that you understand. Do not be merely a casual hearer. Do you realize that Christ's word is just as direct and just as pertinent to those of us in this room and to those who are listening by way of the internet? The word of Christ is just as direct and just as pertinent to us as it was to that crowd 2,000 years ago. He is saying, listen, discipline yourself so that you can understand what I'm saying. And verse 16, "Do you have ears to hear? Will you use them rightly? Will you receive the message?" So after He had invited them and encouraged them, He then instructs them in verse 15. Notice verse 15. "There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man." What is He saying? It's not what goes in your mouth, but what comes out of your mouth, as Matthew recorded it. That is what defiles and makes one spiritually unclean. So the Lord gave that public principle. But notice, secondly, we see a private petition. Verse 17, "And when He was entered into the house from the people, His disciples asked Him concerning the parable." We have a parable here. "And He saith unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats?" Well, having entered the house, away from the people, no longer with the crowd, His disciples asked. And of course, it was Peter, as usual. He verbalized their petition. Matthew recorded that, and Peter wanted to know the meaning of the parable. Well, Christ showed His concern and His disappointment with them at this point. The apostles
had been with him nearly 3 years at this point. Yet they still did not comprehend what Christ was saying. He said, "Are ye so without understanding also? Do you not perceive?" Well, later, thank God, after the Holy Spirit came to indwell the believers in such great power, they understood. But you know, there's a message here for us. How are we going to understand? But by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We need to pray to the Holy Spirit to give us understanding. Every time we open the Word of God, it should be our prayer. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Now, wondrous things out of thy law. You realize that wondrous things out of God's law has a direct reference to Christ, whose one of his names is that very word, wonderful. We want to know his wonderful things, his wonderful works, his wonderful name, his wonderful person. As we read the Word, that we would have our eyes open, our understanding open to see him. Because he is the message of the inscripturated Word. Well, Christ explained then in verses 18 and 19. At the end of verse 18, he says, "Whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him. Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. Whatever enters a man does not defile him, because his digestive system," he's talking about, the digestive system will process it, the digestive system will purge it, cast it out. It will not reach the heart. It will not change his heart. It will not have a direct effect on the heart. Well, there it is. Their petition regarding this. We've looked at the public principle, the private petition. Now, finally, a powerful proclamation. And here is the gist of the message for us today. Verse 20. "And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts." Both times, Matthew and Mark record that at the top of the list. Evil thoughts. Adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. That which comes out of the human heart, that is what defiles us all. All of us. I speak in the first person, plural, including myself. It is as Isaiah declared in chapter 64, verses 6 and 7. You think about that. Isaiah used the first person plural, including himself, over and over again. He said, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses," the best things that we can muster, "are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away, and we do all fade as a leaf. Yes, and there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee." If we would take hold of God, it is God stirring us up. Hallelujah. Well, all of us, whether high or low, old or young, rich or poor, all of us are as Jesus proclaimed. The seeds of all these evils are hidden within the heart of every one of us. "Why then have they not yet broken forth
and manifested themselves fully in all of their ugliness. Well, there's several reasons why those evil things in our hearts haven't come out into the open fully. They've not yet been seen in some because they have thus far been hidden under a cloak or under a thin veneer of religion. Some people hold back the thoughts and the evil things within because of fear of being punished. Still others keep them covered because they want to be thought of as nice and respectable people. And then, thankfully, the restraining grace of God has held back these evil potentials for many of us. But the remedy is not just restraint. Not just the restraining grace of God. Praise God, the true and best remedy is the application of Christ's cleansing blood by the Holy Spirit to wash our hearts clean and to give us ongoing victory over the plague of our heart. And the prophet said, every man that knoweth the plague of his own heart. Let us never give in to a spirit of self-righteousness. Why? How can we be self-righteous when we realize that the seeds of all these horrible evils are present within, lying there in the corrupt nature within all of us? If we assume that we could never do any of these things because we belong to the Lord, ho, 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 you need to wait right there. If you think none of this will ever come out of my life because I belong to Christ, well, just look at King David. Stop and think. King David was the man after God's own heart. God had given David a kingdom, a throne, a nation under him, many servants and supporters, abundant riches, and a large family of his own. Yet this man, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the man called the man after God's own heart, one evening, he yielded as he went forth and looked over the city. He glimpsed a woman bathing. Time to leave. Instead of leaving, he continued not just to glimpse, but to gaze upon her. And a nourishing of a filthy lust gave rein to that awful lust to grow and gain momentum like a snowy avalanche rushing down a mountain slope. Lust conceived a plot to take her unlawfully, another man's wife. It became gross adultery. It turned into lying as King David tried and tried to cover up and hide his sin. And then it turned to murder as the king commanded her husband's death. Let us not forget then. Can any of us claim that title as David had? To be one after God's own heart. Let us not forget our own vulnerability. If we fail to keep close to Christ by daily communion with Him. Now let me underline that. Failing to maintain daily communion with Christ forms a habit. It forms a pattern of walking in the flesh rather than walking in the Spirit. If we do not maintain a daily communion with Jesus Christ, then we form a habit, we form a pattern of walking not in the Spirit, but walking in the flesh. The Old Testament writers, the prophets, over there in the Old Testament, as well as all of the inspired writers of Holy Scriptures, understood their own vulnerability and our vulnerability to commit all these filthy, heinous, abominable sins. We are all as an unclean thing. So Jeremiah wrote, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" So we dare answer God's question. Nobody on earth can know their own heart fully. Only God knows. Proverbs 28, verse 26, the wise man tells us, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." We dare not trust our own heart. We dare not let the rein loose for our heart just to run anywhere that it would go. For out of the heart proceed all of these things listed here. Oh, it begins with evil thoughts. Verse 21. Evil thoughts and adulteries and fornications, murders, all of these other hideous things. You know, the Apostle Paul echoed what was spoken by the other prophets regarding our vulnerability to sin. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, he was speaking about his own battle against his own flesh, and he said, "Lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." A dokimos. That after all the apostle had preached, written, and accomplished, that he should prove at last to be what? A reprobate. Rejected by God. That's the word. Serious, apostolic, and Holy Spirit directed thought. "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." What a warning given in 1 Corinthians 10, the next chapter. So you see the list. Verse 21, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts." Thoughts are parents of words and actions. Remember that. Your thoughts will be dressed up in words and actions. You've got to carefully guard your thoughts, submitting them to God's Word, thinking His thoughts after Him. Not what goes into the mouth defiles, but what comes out reveals the fatal contamination that hand washing cannot remove. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What proceeds from the heart comes out of the mouth. Evil thoughts take the form of words. Murders are plotted through lips. Adulteries and fornications employ seductive words of flattery. Thefts lie to hide guilt. Blasphemy is predominantly through the words of the mouth. No one can say here today, none of you can say, "These words do not apply to me," because God knows the heart of every one of us. Every one of us are thorough lawbreakers. Every command of God is first broken in the heart, and then it expresses its iniquity, its lawlessness outwardly. James chapter 2 verse 10, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." So the question is very legitimate. Have you ever been guilty of not being respectful, obedient, responsive, honoring your parents? I think everyone would have to say there had been a time. So we are guilty of every one of the commandments of God breaking. "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all." Thank God for the gospel. Though we are totally depraved, guilty, and filthy, the blood of Christ can wash us clean and as white as snow. So if you do not know Christ today, call upon Him today to cleanse you from all your sin Ask Him to be your Lord and Savior, because He promises, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. There's a word of the gospel for us to come to Jesus. If you don't know Christ, come to Him today. But dear Christian, you that have been born of God, there is within you and me more than a natural distaste toward these sins. I would say that there is in a lot of people a natural distaste. I don't want to be guilty of that. But in the believer, there is also supernatural life within us that hates these sins. How can you feed the refusal and the rejection of these sins and temptations? That's something we want to feed. We want to feed the rejection and the refusal of these sins. That's what we want to feed. It's not by overcoming temptations and defilement, not by hand washing, but it is, as the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in thine heart that I might not sin against thee. Seek the Lord daily for an increase in faith. We need to ask the Lord every day to increase our faith. Why? For this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts today. For Jesus' sake, let us pray together. Oh Lord, we do confess that this is a reality, that this is where our battle is, the battleground of the heart, the thoughts of the heart. Oh God, teach us to think the thoughts of God. Lord, we praise Thee that Thou hast recorded Thy thoughts, that Thy thoughts are recorded in the words of holy inspiration. So Lord, teach us more and more of Thy word. Oh, may it be hidden in our hearts that we not sin against Thee. Lord, increase our faith. We thank Thee for the promise that this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Oh Lord, we rejoice in Thee. We pray that Thou wilt bless Thy truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.